Or if we have all the choir come up, the choir will start service in about 5 minutes.
Well, I hope that gets you ready to sing hymn number 42. Everybody take a hymnal. We're going to stand and sing Saved by the Blood, number 42. Let's all stand. Take a hymnal and join us. All right, sing together now. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransom from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. By the blood of the crucified one, the angels rejoicing because it is done. The child of the Father joined there with the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone.
Going to sing that last verse when we get to the chorus. Saved, really emphasize it. Let's sing it on the last together.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father. All hail to the Son. All hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Amen. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. Well, if that we're going to sing that chorus one more time. How did the instruments get us started? We'll sing it a cappella. That means with no music for you folks that don't know what a cappella is. That's not a place in Mexico. All right? But I like to hear that song sung with no, just the word. Just sing it out. Don't worry. If you're off key, who cares? Just if you're saved, you ought to praise God. You're saved. And on your way to heaven. Let's sing that chorus, all right?
Here we go. First word together.
Father, we love you today. I'm glad I can say I'm saved. Not a better way thing to be in this world. It's better than being rich. It's better than being famous. It's better than being on top of the world. I'm glad I'm saved. Because, Lord, when all those other things are gone, heaven will still be real. Jesus will still be on the throne and God will still be God. But best of all, I'll be with my loved ones and friends and with my Lord because I'm saved. Not because I'm someone. Not because of the family I come from. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I'm a Baptist. But because I'm saved. And I'm glad that I'm saved by the crucified one. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. God, I'm thankful today. No matter what happens in this day, I don't know what's going to happen to me today. But no matter what happens, good, bad, or indifferent, I'm still saved. And so, Lord, I'm thankful that'll never go away. I can't give it away. I wouldn't. No one can buy it from me. No one can steal it from me. Satan can't even get it from me because it's forever and forever. So Lord, I pray today if there's someone here lost without Christ and they're not saved, I pray they'll come to the altar and give their heart to Jesus Christ and then be able to say, glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Father, thank you for that wonderful thought this morning. God, I pray that you'll bless the remainder of this service for your glory. In Jesus' name. Now remain standing. Come on, Brother Tim. Let's sing that last verse one more time. Because God's on my mind. Let's sing that last verse. Most of you know it by heart. Let's sing it before the choir sings.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father. All hail to the Son. All hail to the Spirit, the great Creator One. Saved by the blood of the crucified One. I am saved, I am saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone.
Thank you, choir. Well, let's stand. We're going to give the choir a chance to come down. So let's stand together. We'll have a little handshaking time.
All right. Thank you so much, choir, for that good singing. Man, I'm glad to be back in South Carolina. That's my kind of singing right there. I'll tell you, they had some good singing up in Michigan, but it doesn't touch South Carolina, I'll tell you that. Thank God. I'm glad when I get to heaven, I'll lay this burden down. Boy, I'm telling you. Well, it's good to be back with you. Appreciate your prayers this week. The highs were in the low 50s and the lows were in the upper 30s. And then I came home and it was 92. Got up this morning, it was 81 when I got up this morning. And it has played havoc with my sinuses. So we'll get through it though. Don't worry. If I have to preach in sign language, I'm going to preach today. But we're glad you, and I don't even know sign language, so there you go. But appreciate your prayers. We had a wonderful week of meeting up there. The preacher's meeting was so good. I'd say the best they ever had up there. And I appreciate so much being able to be part of it, preaching last Sunday morning. And then on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, had a chance to preach in the meeting. And I'm so thankful for that. And I appreciate you all praying. Appreciate your being good to Brother Tim Griffin. And then, of course, with the Terrell Rose last Sunday night, Brother Steve Wednesday night, I appreciate your faithfulness and appreciate being able to have folks that I know can fill in and don't have to worry about what they might say or do and come back to a tore-up place. I appreciate that very much. But it's good to see all of you here today. I don't think we have any first-time visitors. Looks like everybody's been here before. And thank you again for coming. By the way, choir, good job. Man, y'all sang your heart out this morning. We've got as good a choir as there is anywhere. And I'm glad it's the Anchor Baptist Choir. And I hear that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is going to take Mormon off of their name. Well, that's fine if they want to. But I'm a Baptist. I'm going to be one till Jesus comes. And this is a Baptist church. We have a Baptist choir. Say amen right there. And so I appreciate the Anchor Baptist Choir. And in just a few weeks, we'll be heading back up to Greenville to help with the Sheraton for WTBI Radio. For those of you that don't know, we go every year to help in that. We do not get WTBI on the radio here in Columbia. We're too far out. But you can get it on your internet, on your computer, on your phone, your smartphone. Just type in WTBI.org and you can pick it up. And if you want to hear some good music and good preaching, then you need to listen to WTBI. And that's the reason why we want to try to help them out to raise money for the radio station. And so that'll be in just a few weeks, and I hope you'll get a chance to listen. But anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for praying for Judy. And I thank you for the well wishes about our anniversary, 33 years. I'm proud to say I'm married to my bestest friend. Amen. Jesus is my father, but Judy's my wife. Amen. And she's the only one I'm going to have. We have this conversation, not often, thank God, but occasionally. And she'll say, now listen, if I go for you, you get remarried. I'm not going to do it. I'm telling you, that's it. How can you do better than the best? Amen. Well, now I'm serious. Now, some of you look like, oh man, he's really pitching it today, ain't he? No, I mean that. I'm telling you. I was excited to go up, but I tell you, after the first, I stayed in the prophet's chamber down in the basement of the church. That's, of course, a nice, beautiful room. I mean, better than most motels. But there's not a window in it anywhere. So, buddy, at night when you turn out the lights, you better know where you're at. You better be in the bed and not wanting to move none during the night. And because it's dark as a dungeon down there, but man, after the first night, I thought, man, I wish Judy was here. At least, if I stumped my toe, I'd have somebody say, "You'll be all right." So I tried to be very, very careful about that. But I'm glad to be back with you. Looking forward to some good days. Now, I don't want you to get mad. I told you this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to be gone next Sunday in Pennsylvania preaching for Brother David Foote. I mentioned this. Now, I don't know why it is. I don't preach off very often. I don't preach many meetings or anything like that. But just for whatever reason, seems like in October is when everybody wants to know, can I come do something for them? And so it just seems like October is really just blasted. And so this coming Sunday, I'll be in Pennsylvania preaching for Brother David Foote, but we'll be back for Wednesday night service. And then that following weekend, I'll be here Sunday, but on Saturday, I'll be up in Dank, Virginia doing Hunter Irving's wedding. Hunter's getting married. He wanted me to come and do the wedding for him. So I'll be staying at the Prophet's Chamber at the hospital. Bethany won't stay there because she thinks it's haunted. It's actually a convert in Dank, Virginia, where Brother Est Lamberg is the pastor, you know, the training church. They took the old hospital from Dank and turned it into a prophet's chamber, big old place. In fact, I think the kitchen is the old operating room. And I think the bedroom where we sleep is like one of the x-ray rooms or something. Anyway, then there's a door back there that says, do not open. I think we all know what was back there. And so somebody real brightly told Bethany that the place was haunted. And so now she won't even stay in it. So she, are you going with us up there? Yeah, I forgot you were going. Man, it's a wonderful place, full of the Holy Ghost, and yeah, praise God. It's just the angels sing every night in there, and all right. Well, let's see if we can put the dirt back in the hole I just dug. We'll be back, and then I won't be gone again. I don't believe for a while, through the holidays and all. So. We'll be back here for a while. But I appreciate your understanding and praying for us. It's just an opportunity to get out, maybe help some folks. Of course, Hunter was in our church for many years, and he and Andrew were good buddies, and he served in the military. He's out now, and he's getting married, I guess going to live up in that area, and where his brother also lives, Taylor. And so anyway, you pray for us, though. But we're looking forward to, I've never been to Pennsylvania for any particular reason. The last time when Brother Joaquin and Steve and I went to New York, we used the GPS, and we told it, we said, no tolls. We don't want to pay any tolls. Well, we did it too soon. When we got to Washington, it just turned us west. And next thing we knew, we were in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I said, have mercy, we are going the wrong way. Well, it made us go all around. But anyway, it was a long ride, wasn't it, Joaquin? And Steve. Steve was in the back doing work while Joaquin was driving the chariot furiously. Amen. So we're going to start calling him Jehu. Amen. He drove the chariot furiously. But anyway, we're looking forward to going up there and being Brother David Foote. Let me give you a couple of prayer requests before Brian comes real quickly. Brother Jerry Peacock is at home. Recovering, he had a colonoscopy, and then after he got home, he started bleeding. So they were not sure if maybe they punctured him or something. And I'm not sure. I don't think he didn't tell me really what all they did find, but the bleeding has stopped. They got it, whatever it was, they fixed it. He's at home recovering. Sister Shirley Hughes, really kind of low, so pray for her. Christy's dad, Jenny Lloyd, I talked to her on the way home Friday, coming back from Michigan, and he's down in Darlington. Is he still in the hospital? Is he at home? Or he's at home. So pray for him. He's got an issue that he's dealing with. And so, and Christy they went down, I think, Friday or Saturday to be with him and stay down there a while. So you pray for Jimmy Lloyd, if you would. And then continue to pray for Brian Shannon, Brother Ed McAbee, Jimmy Rose. Continue to pray for him and the others we have on the prayer list. Okay? All right, Brother Brian, come on ahead and give us some announcements.
All right, let me give you all the stuff coming up on the schedule. This evening we'll have choir practice at 4:30. I don't think I confirmed that, but Brother Tim just shook his head yes. So choir practice at 4:30 this afternoon, then the evening service at 5:30. We'll be back here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night for our midweek service. The next thing, this weekend's kind of free as far as I know. The next Sewing Saturday will be 2 weeks from yesterday. We had 5 go out yesterday. I hope to see a lot more go out on the 20th. So keep that in mind. That'll be 10 o'clock here at the church, of course, for you men. The Trunk or Treat is on the 26th, Friday evening. Now, there's going to be a meeting after church for anybody involved with that. If you haven't yet committed saying, yes, I'm going to be involved, you can come tonight and make sure you make yourself known that what you're doing. If you're helping in any way on that Trunk or Treat after the service tonight in the ladies' Sunday school class, if you're doing a trunk, you need to decide by tonight whether you're doing one and what your trunk is, and so you can let Miss Bethany know when you meet with her this evening. So I encourage all of you that want to be involved to do that and meet with us. Now, the day after that will be a women's meeting. This is Saturday, October 27th. We're announcing this for the first time now. There's a ladies' meeting in Union. That's a little bit up towards the upstate, not too far away. This is Welcome Baptist Church in Union. That's Saturday, October 27th. That starts at 9:15 in the morning, so it'll be a little bit early out for you ladies. Now, I think we're going to have we're going to have mirrors and compacts in the van, so you can take care of yourself while you're on the way. We're going to take care of you. But so it'll be a little early, maybe as early as 7:30, 7:45, you're out of here. Now, that's October 27th. 2 weeks from today, which is October 20th, we will get a count of, that'll be October 21st, will be 2 weeks from today. We'll get a final count of who's going. But for now, ladies, we want you to pray about if you want to go to this meeting at Welcome Baptist in Union on the 27th. And then, as we announced last week, and the pastor's here, but it's no secret, he already knows all about it, our Pastor Appreciation Sunday will be November 4th, the morning service. We look forward to a great time. We're going to have a special speaker, and we're going to have a special singing, and we're going to have some presentations. It'll be a wonderful day in the Lord. We want you to be inviting people to come. Me and Bethany already know of a couple of people that are coming that we're excited about, so you be inviting people as well to come to that special service on November 4th, and also between now and then, I believe we've got 4 weeks between now and then, you pray and ask the Lord how you can demonstrate your appreciation and love for our pastor and our pastor's wife over the next month. But you be here on November 4th. You're not going to want to miss that. All right,
number 249. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. 249. Everybody take a hymnal. We'll save the tag for the end. Let's sing out on the first verse. Let's sing together.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Now we'll sing the last, and we'll put that tag on it at the end there and have a big ending together on the last now.
Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. This is eternal and blessing supernal from His voice the sand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down and
singing. You can be seated now. Brian's coming.
Miss Judy, could you come up here real quick? You got the special this morning, right? I'm just kidding. No, come on.
I'd like to hear that.
33 years ago, something wonderful happened.
Yes, it did.
And I was born on May 13th. But then something else happened later on that year. And our pastor and our pastor's wife got married. And I'm sure he'll tell you that one of the reasons he is such a wonderful pastor of this church is because, number one, he has a wonderful marriage to his wife, that she can be his helpmeet and support him. So we love our pastor and our pastor's wife, And we just want to wish them a happy anniversary. We have a card and a gift from the church here.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that precious. And what, my dad, do you need to get back on here? Oh, yeah. We're going to sing to him and wish him a happy anniversary. Key of G, everybody sing with us.
Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you so much for that. That I didn't expect that, but thank you for it. I'll tell you, they say that behind every good man's a good woman, and that's the truth, and especially for a preacher or a pastor, because a lot of you folks do not realize we all know about the highs, but many of you folks don't know about the lows, that when a pastor or an evangelist or preacher goes through something that's rough, how much they're, and by the way, this thing with Kavanaugh is a perfect example of that. Man, if you watched anything, you saw his wife back there, she looked like she was just dying. And you know, because that's her husband, you know, and there's her little kids, her little girls. And my wife and kids, you know, I know, when I surrendered to preach, I had no idea what was ahead. I mean, I had no idea. And so then when I started pastoring and getting involved and then stuff, you know, realizing things, then I realized, you know, my precious wife and kids didn't sign up for it. It doesn't, you know, it hurts. You know, when bad things happen, it hurts. When people leave, it hurts me as the pastor. But what you don't realize is how much it bothers my wife and the children. I mean, and stuff happens, you know, and I'm not going to get into all that. But that's why I'm so very, you know, I ask her when I asked her to marry me, I didn't even ask her, will you marry me first? The first thing I asked her was, God's called me to preach. Will you go anywhere God wants me to go? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, now here's the big one. And so we got married, and she has. She's been faithful. She's taken places we've lived that I'm telling you, most people wouldn't want to live in, and turn them into homes. Fixed them up. She's practiced it. She knows how to decorate. Man, she can make a mud pie look like a chocolate cake. And that's just the way she is. And then, you know, our children came along, and they too were very precious to us. And you know, you need to, when you hear people joke about the preacher's kids, and I know it's, you know, Shelton's one. We know what that's all about. I don't. I wasn't a preacher's kid, but they are. But I'm telling you, it's, you know, my kids are not any different than your kids. They're flesh just like your children are. They mess up just like your children do. Oh, and by the way, Judy and I are also flesh. And we mess up too. You know, we're not always dead right. And that's why I so preached 33 years. And I mean, we got married. I took my first church in January of 1985. We got married in October of 85. And so she went from home, being the pastor's wife, no training, no Bible college, no nothing. We went to school all right, though, didn't we? Yes, sir, we sure did. And I'm so grateful for her and my children. And so I just want to tell you and tell them publicly how much I love them. I wish my son could be here. He's having to work today. But I appreciate my family. All right? All right, Brother Tim. Oh, yeah, let's take the offering. That's a good idea. Come on, ushers, let's do that. Yeah. Sorry, getting all mushy and forget to take the money. All right. All right, Brother Rick, how about pray for the offering, please?
right before Pastor comes this morning, we have the quartet going to sing for us.
I don't know what to do. It's been months since I've been in Sunday service. They've had me everywhere between Myrtle Beach, Georgetown, and you know, it's amazing how God saw fit. The other day, I was talking to a guy I was stationed with, and he said, on the way down here, I was praying. I said, you were? He's like, yes, sir, I was praying. He said that God would provide a safe trip here. This is our last station, right? I said, you were? He's like, yeah. He said, I was praying that God would allow us to have a good time here. I said, you were? He's like, yes. And I was praying that God would pair me up with a good Christian young man here. I said, were you really? But lo and behold, he's a trooper. Mike Looney, he is a preacher. He sings. He goes to church with C.T. Townsend. And he's an evangelist. We had the opportunity to witness there on the job with other people coming to us, talking to us. You know, we had the opportunity to witness to others. We had this one little boy, Emery Hernandez. Y'all saw the picture of him. Emery. He's been out of school for a while because of the floods. He came up to it. He just took over with me and Mike. He just came right over to us and spent, literally, we said, all right, you got to be here on this on clock. You're going to come to work with us. So he stood right there all day long. He was there at 7 o'clock knocking on my door. I was sitting there reading my Bible. So was Mike over there working on his Sunday school lessons. I rolled him in. I said, good morning, Emery. He's like, good morning, Starling. How are you? I said, I'm doing great. He said, turn on some of that music. He loves listening to I'll Never Sell Alone. His parents started listening to I'm Not Going to Hell with us. And Brother Mike was over there singing songs to him. He all day long, that's what he wanted. His brother came over there. He wanted to eat with us. And the thing is, you were able to witness to him. So what's going to happen? But Brother Mike said, Emery, are you saved? You ready to go to meet God? You're going to hell. He didn't know what to say. He's 7 years old. He went through the plan of salvation with him. He was asking the questions, so we're able to witness to him on the job. You know, amen? His parents came over and started asking questions. Neighbors started coming around. It was just good to, you never know through people's trials and tragedies, what they're going through, how receptive they are to the things of God. It was just a peace that he was able just to be around. He didn't know what was going on, where his next meal was coming from. But you know what? God saw fit to pair him with us so that we could just witness to him. I keep thinking about Emery and Landon and his family. But anyway, y'all, songs I'll never sit. Let's hear them. You travel alone. There you go. As you travel. We're traveling. So anyways, I just wanted to share that with you. It's amazing what God can do for you when you're away from church. You can still have church. Amen. Hey.
As you travel
along
on the Jericho Road, does the world seem all wrong and heavy your load? Just bring it to Christ. Your sins all confess on the Jericho Road. Your heart He will bless.
On the Jericho Road.
There's room for just two.
There's room for just two. No more and no less.
Just Jesus and you.
Just Jesus and you. Each burden He'll bear.
Each burden He'll bear.
Each sorrow He'll share.
Each sorrow He'll share.
There's never a care.
For Jesus is there.
For Jesus is there.
On the Jericho Road,
on the Jericho Road,
Bartimaeus
said,
his life was a boy, so empty and flat,
but Jesus
appeared, one word brought him
sight,
on the Jericho Road.
Christ
banished
his
night
on the Jericho Road.
There's room for just two.
There's room for just two.
No more and no less.
Just Jesus and you.
Just Jesus and you. Each burden He'll bear.
Each sorrow He'll share.
For Jesus is
there.
I'll smile a little bit.
Oh, brother, to you.
Oh, brother, to you.
This
This message I bring.
The hope may be gone.
He'll cause you to see.
At Jesus' command.
Then shackles must fall.
On the Jericho road.
Will you answer his call on the Jericho road?
There's room for just two.
No more in all, just Jesus and you. Each burden he'll bear, each sorrow he'll share.
There's never a care, for Jesus is there.
Each burden he'll bear, each sorrow he'll share.
All right, Mark chapter 5 this morning, the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5. I've got to turn my button on here. There we go. We on, John?
All right. Mark chapter number 5. I haven't had a chance to listen to the services from last week. Where I was, the Wi-Fi didn't work too good down in the basement down there, and it kept buffering, so I really didn't have much Wi-Fi service. I didn't get a chance. I wanted to listen to the services and keep up that way, so I'm going to listen to him this week while I'm in my office, so I'm looking forward to that. Mark chapter number 5, a familiar passage of Scripture to many of you, page 1050, if you have a Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please, if you can. I want to read several verses out of Mark 5. You'll recognize the passage almost immediately, and I want to preach a thought that the Lord gave me, and I hope it'll be a blessing. Verse number 1 of Mark chapter 5, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man, an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because they had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So you understand that the response that this man gives Jesus is not from the man himself. It is the demon that's in him responding to Jesus. Because the demons, number one, demonic activity is real. This is not a parable. This really happened. Demonic activity is real. And number two, the demons are under subjection to Jesus Christ. The power they have comes from God. Now notice what happens, though. Verse 9, he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. There was more than one. A legion of Roman soldiers was anywhere between 600 and 900 soldiers. That means that this man could have possibly had as many as 900 demons inside of him. Now, that's what the Word of God says now. I know that sounds almost too hard to imagine, and probably is. It really happened this way. And he bethought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now, and that's the demon again saying, Don't cast us out, make us leave. Now there was there nigh in the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. In other words, they didn't go till he said they could. Know why? Because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he gave them permission, the Bible said the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, They were about 2,000. So now we get an even better idea of how many demons were in this man. It was enough that 2,000 pigs each got one. And they ran down the hill into the water. It says they were choked. They committed hogicide. Amen? That's right. They committed hogicide. Notice what it says. It says, and they came, and they that fed the swine fled. Now you can imagine these herdsmen, their livelihood had just ran violently down a hill into the water and drowned. So they ran, it says, they that fed the swine fled, told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Father, we thank you for the great privilege of being back home and back with our folks here at Anchor Baptist Church. And Lord, thank you for being home with my family, and I've missed everyone. But now, Lord, comes the most important time of this portion of the Lord's day. The choir did a tremendous job. What a blessing the choir was. And then, Lord, the congregational singing. And I hope the special maybe had folks think a little bit about the Lord being with us. Now, Lord, comes the preaching of thy word. More important, all the rest of it. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, I now accept and have the great responsibility of opening up God's word and rightly dividing it. So, Father, I pray that you'll hide me in the shadow of the cross. Help me not to say anything that would bring reproach upon your name. To only say those things that would be pleasing in your hearing. And then, Lord, I pray for that one that may be lost, just like this man. I'm glad, Father, no matter how lost they are, when Jesus passes by, oh, what a difference when Jesus passes by. So, Lord, pass by us today through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Speak to that heart that's lost, or that one that might be saved and maybe away from God. Help them, Lord, to come back to the family and get right and serve the Lord with all their heart. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you for just a few moments on this question. Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? Anybody ever hear? Don't raise your hand. Ever heard anybody ask you that question? Or have you ever asked that question? And someone makes a request that just seems to be a little, you know, out there in space. Or either someone's asked you or vice versa. And you think to yourself, well, that's beyond even comprehension. And the first thing you want, you say, are you out of your mind? Do you really think that I could do such as that? Or vice versa, if you're asking someone. Well, that's what happens here. The Bible says that this demoniac, full of the devil, Jesus shows up and casts the devil out. And when these herdsmen ran to tell the leaders of the city, by the way, the religious leaders of the city, what had happened, they came, and the Bible says the first thing they did was they found the man who in previous years now, we're not talking about days or even weeks, we're talking about this was going on for years, that this man was demon-possessed to the point that he didn't stay at home, he didn't work for and support his family. The Bible said that he was so out of his mind with this demonic activity that every day and night he never slept. Seemed like that he ran through the graveyard and screaming and yelling and taking stones and rocks and cutting himself. The Bible says that those religious folks, they couldn't help him spiritually. So they tried to bind him physically, and the Bible says that they bound him with chains and fetters. Now, fetters are kind of like what you'd put on your wrists and ankles, the locks, you know. They have chains on, much like you'd see maybe a convict would wear. Shackles, I guess, is another word for that. And so, and not just once, but many times, these folks would somehow get to this guy and somehow chain him, wrap him in chains. Now, this is not a parable. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a Houdini. The Bible said this man, full of devils, had so much strength that he was able to break chains. He had so much of that demonic strength in him that he was able to pull apart those shackles and continue his rant in the city. Now, it happened day and night. Now, imagine you're out working in the town there in Decapolis, and you hear this awful screaming and yelling. Well, you kind of concentrate on your job or whatever it is you're doing. The ladies are cooking or whatever. And sure, the children, you know, you want to kind of keep them close by. But you hear it all day long. And all of a sudden, dad comes home. He's tired from working all day. Mom's been keeping house and taking care of the children. She's wore out. The kids are just wore out automatic because they're kids. And they go to bed, but they can't sleep because this man is doing the same thing all night that he does all day. He's got the whole town in an uproar. Don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They didn't have psychiatric hospitals then. They didn't have psychiatrists and psychologists back then. They didn't know what to do. So now it seems to be just going, progressing on until one day, by the way, not happenstance, not by chance. I believe Jesus intended to go here. It's on a boat, sails up to the shore. And before he can even get off the boat, this man full of demons sees Jesus. Now, the man himself did not recognize who Jesus was, but those 2,000 devils did. And the Bible said they possessed him to the point that this man physically would do whatever they wanted him to do. The Bible said the man ran to meet Jesus and to worship him. These demons knew who Jesus was. He was their creator. He was their God. He's the one. Listen, no matter what the devil will tell you, he is not greater than God. Never has been, never will be. And by the way, I'm not really preaching on demonic activity. I don't want some of you to look a little frightened. But what I am telling you is that God included it in the Bible because he wanted us to know about it. And I wasn't even thinking about Halloween. Now, listen, Halloween is not what it used to be when I was a kid. We never had to worry about razor blades and apples and pins and drugs and candy. And God only knows folks that are be out that night stalking your children, trying to snatch them and do something wicked to them. Amen. You want to know my opinion? I don't think you ought to have Halloween. We don't celebrate Halloween. We don't celebrate Halloween here. We'll have trunk or treat, but there'll be no jack-o'-lanterns. There'll be no black cats. There'll be no costumes of demonic things or monsters. If that's your thought, stay home. Amen. Because I don't think we ought to honor the devil's holiday. But anyway, amen, that's free. Thank you for both of them amens right there, by the way. So Jesus casts out the unclean spirit. You know what happened? They go into the swine by permission of the Lord. The swine run down the hill. They drown themselves. It's got the whole town in a tizzy. And so here come the religious leaders now. And what they find first. Now remember, these are the folks that have been dealing with this guy for years. And they come along, and the first thing they notice as they're getting close to the neighborhood where he's at, they don't hear any screaming. Don't hear any wailing. Maybe they said to themselves, well, somebody finally knocked that bird out. Or maybe somebody killed him. They didn't hear any screaming. Then as they get a little closer and the crowd is gathered, they begin to push through the crowd, no doubt. They may have asked, hey, is that feller still up in the graveyard? They said, no, you won't believe it. And they get down to where he's at, and the Bible says that they found him clothed. He was sitting, first of all, hadn't sat down and rested probably for years. Isn't it amazing when Jesus shows up, you can rest? Then the Bible said he was clothed. You get Jesus in you and you'll get dressed. Come on now. I know us independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, God-fearing, King James Bible-preaching Baptists get skewered all the time because we have convictions about dressing right. Amen. And we're going to keep on being that way. Because I believe when Jesus is in control of your life, you're going to put some clothes on. Amen. This ain't even the message, and already y'all are so excited. And then the Bible says this, he was in his right mind. Meaning, that whatever he was for years is no longer the case. He has been cured by somebody other than them townsfolk. And his name was Jesus. Amen? I'm telling, there's so much in this story, but I got to get to the message now. But I'm telling you, if you give your heart to Christ, he'll straighten out your mind about things. He'll straighten out your mind, your thoughts, your ideas, your vocabulary, how you live, how you treat folks. I'm telling you, when Jesus saves a man, the Bible said if he's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And look, all things are become new. They walked up on him with no doubt they were waiting for him to go berserk. And yet what happens? They find him clothed and in his right mind. Everything's under control. Now that Jesus is there, everything's under control. And look what the next verse says in verse 17. And they began to pray him, depart from their coast. They have seen probably one of the greatest miracles that that town had ever seen. And a man who was full of devils for years. And now he's clothed. He's sitting. He's in his right mind. He's not cutting himself. He's not screaming bloody murder. And the town can have some peace. And they want Jesus to go. Seemed to me like if they had folks in that shape, they'd want Jesus to hang around so they could get him and bring him to him and say, hey, you did it for him. Can you do it for mine? But that's what happens when Jesus comes along. The religious crowd, the wicked crowd says, get out of here. We don't want anything to do with you. Even though they now have peace in their town. They never had before. I'm preaching on when you're in, are you out of your mind? You see, if you're in your right mind like this man was, number one, listen, you'll follow Jesus. The reason you don't follow Jesus now, sinner, lost friend, is because something else is your God. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. And God knows what it is. But whatever it is, and by the way, remember that the folks that wanted him to leave were not the plain town. It wasn't the man's family. It wasn't the regular townspeople. It was the religious leaders in that place. Because when Jesus shows up, he'll get rid of your religion and give you salvation. And buddy, you'll leave that religion alone and you'll follow him. Man, y'all with me now? If you're in your right mind, you'll follow Jesus. Hey, if you're in your right mind, like I said, you'll dress right. Now, let me just give you this so you won't go out here and... I did not say that you had to wear, ladies, a dress up to your chin and down to your toes. I know about fashion and I understand all that stuff. But listen, ladies, you ready? Might as well give it to you now. Your body belongs to you and the man you're married to and nobody else ought to see it but him. Amen! And no church member ought to see it either. I don't want to see it. I've got a wife. That's good enough. It's amazing to me how people will dress scantily and go to church that way. Amen. If you're a Christian, you ought to dress right out there like you do here. Amen. And I got all kinds of scripture for that, but I don't have time to preach. If you see me after the service, I'll help you out. I believe if you're in your right mind, you'll dress right. If you're in your right mind, you'll think right. All of a sudden, you'll start thinking the right things and saying the right things and thinking before you say things. We're all guilty of that. Say amen right there. My dad used to say, you put your mouth in motion before you put your mind in gear. You'll say something you wish you hadn't have said. You wish a thousand times you could take it back. If you're following Jesus, if he's really Lord of your life, and you say, Lord, help me right here, he'll help you to put your mind in gear and make you think about what you're about to say so you don't say something you'll regret somewhere down the line. Because these religious leaders, the first thing they said to Jesus was, get out of here. I'll guarantee you somewhere down the line, if Jesus had never gone back to Decapolis, some of those religious leaders had troubles in their family like this man did. They'd have gave everything they owned for Jesus to come back and help them. You see, and let me give you these scriptures quickly, talking about the mind. The mind, that's where the devil does his work, folks. The adage is an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And really it is. Because that's where he puts the temptation. Now, how does it happen? It happens through the eye gate. What you see, you can be tempted by what you're looking at. Men, ladies, young people, amen. You can be tempted. It goes in the eye gate. Well, when you see something, where does that image go? It goes into your brain. and the brain does its work to fix it so you can tell what you're looking at. Hey, all stuff also goes in through the ear gate. You better be careful what you listen to. Hey, moms and dads, listen to me. If you're going to be right with your children when they're little kids, and you're going to put restrictions, and I think you should. I'm not talking about slaves. I'm not talking about, you know, where they can't even see the sun in the daytime. But I mean, if you're going to be right and serve God and try to give them Christian values when they're little children, when they turn 13, don't change your mind. When they get to be 14 and 15, you wouldn't let them have that old ungodly music and posters in their room when they were little. Why are you letting them do it now? Well, because, you know, preacher, they're older now, and I want them to make up their own mind. Hey, they're going to make up their own mind someday, but you better put in them, help them to make the right choice. Amen. Yeah, but I don't want my kids to think that I'm trying to turn them into robots. Honey, I'm telling you, you might as well get that out of your mind. Someday those kids are going to make choices anyway. You better do everything you can. Listen, I had people in my first church especially who had kids and young people, and man, they were super religious and super spiritual. And buddy, if you just winked wrong, they'd be on you. And they had kids and they grew, you know, all of a sudden they got to be teenagers and none of them were in church. None of them. I'd go to their house to visit. I'd go, and if God knows the truth, Jesus has been with me. We go in the room, and there's all them ungodly, wicked posters hanging, I mean, everywhere. Half-dressed women, naked. I'm talking about in a Baptist church member's house. I've been gone a week, so I've got some stuff backed up. So y'all just hang with me, will you? And they weep and say, "Preacher, I don't know what happened. Wonder what? Why won't my kids do right? Look, you're putting in their minds things of the world. God has no place, and they're going to choose that if you let them." Again, I'm not talking about, you know, lock them in a box and, you know, don't let them out till they're 21 and, you know, well, my kids aren't going to get married till they're 40. You know, don't be silly. That's just crazy. I know because I used to say that. I found out it's silly. Listen to me. Listen to what the Bible said real quickly now. Romans 8 and verse 7. The Bible said, because the carnal mind is enmity with God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, when you fill that carnal mind, the things of the world, the spiritual things get run out. So there's that thing called a carnal mind. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 8, the Bible said this, now as Jannes and Jambres, when you read those names, by the way, those are the two magicians in Exodus that tried to do what Moses did. That's their actual names, Jannes and Jambres. It said, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these, talking about religious folks that don't know God, but they got just enough religion to make them dangerous. And the Bible said, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You better be careful what religious folks you listen to and what religious folks you follow. Amen. I'm not perfect, never claimed to be, and I don't know all the answers, and I've messed up and fumbled the ball more times than I can tell you. But I'm telling you one thing. If you want to listen to old Joel Osteen and some of that crowd, when you get sick, call them. See how quickly they come to check on you. And when all they do is preach, smile, everything's okay, just live a good life and you'll be okay, that's a lie out of hell. And if you believe that stuff and support that stuff, then when you need somebody, call them. Man, I'm not trying to be mean. If you call me, I'll come. I'm going to come. I'm going to come because I'm concerned about you. That's the difference. A lot of them folks, I've got my own opinion about whether that bunch is even saved or not, but I'll keep that to myself. I don't want to offend nobody today. Now, if you ask me personally, I'll be glad to tell you. Then wait a minute. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, if you turn your kids and if you turn over to a corrupt mind and a carnal mind, you're going to have trouble. But if you get a converted mind, a consistent mind, amen, a contented mind, in other words, Paul said, I've learned whatever state I find myself there with to be content. I'm not going to let the devil tell me that if I don't have everything that Joe Neighbor has, that I'm not going to be happy. Listen, if God's blessed you with something to eat and something to drink and something to wear and a roof over your head and halfway living good, you ought to thank God if that's all you ever get. see, well, it's 20 minutes to 12. If I tell you, I don't care. I just want to tell you. Can I give these real fast? Oh, I don't have any subpoints or anything, so just hang in there. When you're in your right mind, number one, you're no longer preoccupied with death. Look at verse 2 of the text. The Bible said that when he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit. Where, listen, when a man's not in his right mind, listen, you ready? You ready? If you let your kids wear black and do that gothic stuff, you're getting what you asked for. If you, listen, you ought to teach your children not to even be slightly interested in demonic stuff. You don't even like to watch the trailers of these ungodly, wicked movies they put on TV now. They're way worse than what I remember. And I remember The Thing. I remember The Blob. It's about as scary as it got for us. Big blob of jelly that ate young people. I'm telling you now, they've got stuff out there so wicked and so demonic. If you let your kids, by the way, and your kids are going to learn from you, if you watch it, don't get mad when they want to watch it. Better not mess with that stuff. Folks, seem like people are preoccupied with death. All about darkness and death. When you're in your right mind, you don't think about them things. I know I'm going to die, folks. But the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. I live long enough, I'm going to die. And guess what? So are you. Happen sooner, could happen later. Nobody knows. But it's going to happen. I don't wake up in the morning and wonder if today would be a good day to die. I've never said that. I want to live. I told my wife. I said, I don't have a living will, but if something happens to me, plug me up. Amen. Plug her in. Keep me alive just long. I don't care. Keep me plugged in. They may figure something out somewhere down the line, but I want to be around. They say that, you know, people in that condition can hear and see. You just don't know it. So I want to go home and be plugged in. So I watch Judy and what she's doing after I've been plugged in. I want to see who she's hanging around with. So when I do kick the bucket, I can haunt them both. Amen right there. And I'm really not making light. There are so many people riding right down this road right now that all they think about is what can they get. Live for today, for tomorrow you die. When you're in your right mind, you don't think that way. Hey, when you're in your right mind, stop trying to hurt yourself. You're not going to hurt yourself. And I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally, emotionally. There's people out here that they are so looking for help from somewhere. These kids that cut themselves. That's what this guy was doing. That's nothing new. When I was growing up, I never heard of that. I mean, I was an adult. I was a pastor for several years before I even heard about people doing this kind of stuff. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for help. Somebody tell me something that can help me. While this man ran in the tombs and cut himself, I don't know what he was yelling, but in his heart he was yelling, somebody help me. People out here need help. And if they can't get it, at an anchor. If they can't get it at your house, where are they going to get it? When you're in your right mind, you're no longer preoccupied with death. You're no longer trying to hurt yourself. You're no longer bound by the chains of sin. Hallelujah. Boy, that feller, he could bust them physical chains, but he could not himself get those demons out of there. It took the power of the Son of God to free the man. Hey, you can do good works. You can give to the church. You can get baptized 50 times. And you'll never break away from sin until the blood of Jesus comes along and forgives you of those sins. Or you'll be in your sin till you die, and you'll go to hell with them. Amen. I'm just trying to preach here. In your right mind, you will no longer be bound by the chains of sin. Hey, look at verse number 18. Where the Bible said, after the man was healed, they wanted them to leave. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He said, verse 18, I'm sorry. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed, begged him that he might be with him. Don't you know, after all those years of living with the devil, all of a sudden now he's free, he's clean, he's in his right mind, he's enjoying life for the first time. I'm telling you, you will never enjoy your life until you get saved. The devil will tell you the beer and the alcohol and the drugs and the immorality, all that stuff will give you peace. It will not. This man didn't have it until he met Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad in 1976 I met Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, life's been good. I have no complaints. Out of all the friends I need, the devil told me I wouldn't have any. Got more friends than I can count. I can't even keep up with all of them. Until I go somewhere and they call my name and I say, who are you? I don't remember. I know the face, but I can't remember the name. do good enough to remember my family's names. Some of you, I forget your name, call you the wrong thing sometimes. Don't get mad at me. It's just, you know, Halfheimers. Amen right there. But notice, when you're in your right mind, you're no longer disobedient to Jesus. He was full of the devil. He could have cared less about Jesus. Now he's full of Jesus. And now he could care less about the devil. Amen. That's the way it works, honey. These folks that say they're saved go out and live like hell all week. Don't have what I have. Have what I have. They haven't been freed. Being listen, if you tell me you're saved here today and you don't mind skipping church and going to places you know you shouldn't go and doing things you shouldn't do, don't tell that lie. And by the way, if you're saved doing them things, it won't be long for the Holy Ghost to get a hold of your heart. You won't be doing it for too long. Because the Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. No daddy in this room, no mother in this room would let their kids continually be disobedient over and over and over and over and over for years and never try to stop them, would you? Of course not. Of course not. Then why do you think God would let us sin over and over if we're saved now? Now, if you're not saved, that's normal for you. That's your regular lifestyle. If you're a born-again Christian, our Heavenly Father, God the Father, is not going to let you do it over and over and just let it keep going. Oh, no, he's going to step in and chastise sometimes with a glance. My dad could stop anything we were doing with a look. Now, my mother, we had her buffaloed, so she figured she needed a stick. And she'd use a yardstick. You could make that yard, you could hear it coming. Woo. He'd come down off. You knew it wasn't no helicopter, praise God. He'd climb up under the bed. So we got too big to get under the bed. Parts of us didn't get under the bed. And she'd say, I'll hit what I can see. And, buddy, she'd whack the bottom of our feet. I'm telling you, that's what I think. No, I ain't going to say that. I have very tender feet. I don't think it's my mother's fault. Don't think. Be the last one. I'm done. Look at verse 20. The Bible said he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. When you're in your right mind, you're not afraid to tell people about Jesus. Amen? You're no longer afraid to tell folks about Jesus. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me before this wicked and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus, that doesn't mean that you go out of here today, if you're going to a restaurant, let's say, that doesn't mean that you got to go into the lobby or at the cash register or get up on you. When you get your booth, you get up in the seat. And then, oh, bless God, all you people in this restaurant, pay attention. I'm fixing to tell you something. I don't know about that. You might liable to wind up in jail. I tell you what you can do that'll speak volumes. You ready? When the food comes, bow your head and say, Lord, thank you for food. And I don't mean like this. I don't care if people beside me hear me. I'm not going to go, oh, dear God, thank you for the food we're about to receive. I'm not talking about that. Man, if you're with some folks, they ought to be able to hear you pray. You'd be surprised how many times people will respond. They'll come by your table and say, I appreciate you praying over your food. Can be a testimony. Brother Steve, how many times that happened at Bojangles? Anytime, sure. I'm telling you, when you're in your right mind, you're not ashamed to tell people about Jesus. Somehow, some way, I'm glad I'm in my right mind. Hell, I think I am. Spiritually, I'm in my right mind. I'll say it that way. Sometimes physically, I'm not too sure. But spiritually, I'm in my right mind. You? Or is something controlling you other than Jesus? And listen to me. I don't care what it is. It can be something legal or illegal. If it's not Jesus, then it's the wrong thing controlling your life. Today's the day of salvation. If you're saved, but you've been away from the Lord, maybe you find yourself leaning in the... And now, today's a good day to come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Give me. I want to do right. I want to be in my right mind. God will bless you tremendously. Now, there's nothing else said about the man after the story. But I can, I believe by the scripture, by what I just read, I can guarantee you that he lived the rest of his life not the way he was when we first met him. That's what Jesus wants to do for you today. He wants to save you, forgive you, so that you can start living right and never have to worry about going back, living that old lifestyle. And if you're out there drowning and somebody throws you a life preserver, he pulls you to shore, man gets you all straightened out, and you choke and gag, and you get all straightened out, and then jump back in the water. It happens again. Guy throws you out that, and he pulls you in. You know what he's going to say, don't you? Why'd you do that? And your answer is, because I like to swim. But you can't swim. You're drowning. That don't matter. I just like to swim. You keep jumping out there. Pretty soon, that guy's going to say, hey, knock yourself out. Then he drowns. God's a long-suffering God, and I'm glad he is. I do not know. The Bible does not say how many chances God will give someone. No, he gave me more than one. He gave me several, but that's all. I know it's more than one. But you know what he's responsible for? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. By God's own promise, He's going to try at least once. I don't know how many times he's tried with you, but at some point he's going to say, I'm not trying. If you don't want me, I'm not going to come back anymore. If that happens, folks, the Bible calls that being turned over to a reprobate mind. What that means is we'll never cross the line, salvation ever. That's what the Scripture says. I'm not making that. So you better make sure today and get in your right mind. You leave here lost. My question is, are you out of your mind? You know what the answer is? Yes, certainly are. Father, we love you today.
Thank you for the privilege of preaching thy word. I'm thankful, Lord, that August the 26th, 1976, 42 years ago, I got in my right mind. Not because of me, not because of who I was or where I went to church or who my parents were, but because I met Jesus as a 17-year-old teenager in a camp. I asked Jesus to save me, and he did. Now, I said I'm in my right mind. I didn't say I was in my perfect mind, because we won't have that till we get to heaven. I'm still flesh. I'm still wicked in my flesh. My old nature is still there, and it battles every day with my new nature. And if I give in as a Christian to sin, like the Holy Ghost is saying, are you out of your mind? Why would you do that? You know, I said don't. I warned you about the consequences. Are you out of your mind? Why would you do that? But I'm also thankful when I realize I am out of my mind. I say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of that sin. The Bible said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I know there are lost people here today. I can't force them to do anything. I just do what I do. I preach. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them to Calvary. It's Jesus' job to intercede for them, and it's God's job to save them, not mine. So when I leave here this morning, I know I've obeyed the Lord. I hope folks also sitting in the audience can walk out of here and say, I obeyed the Lord today. I'm in my right mind. But if there's a lost man, woman, boy, or girl walks out of here lost, they're not in their right mind. They may be in control of themselves, but they're not in their right mind. Oh God, cut through that wall of excuses and that wall of reasoning, that wall of religion, and get to the heart of the matter. Thank you for this time together. Bless the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.